The word of God from Luke chapter 4. But Jesus said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. This is God's word. In Jesus' name. Over the years in our country, a number of Christian fads and movements have come and gone, rising up only to fade away. Over 25 years ago, Promise Keepers was big. Then came the WWJD bracelets. Now I think people are wearing Fitbits. And most recently, the fad about 5 years ago, the purpose-driven life. None of these movements, though, gave even honorable mention to the sacrament of holy baptism. And so it was predictable that these movements would be ephemeral and vanish like mist. For you see, baptism is promise kept. Jesus, his purpose-driven life, the one that still matters today, this very day, for you and every human being. Jesus, the one who, what would Jesus do? He'd die on the cross for the world. What would Jesus do? He'd rise from the dead, something only he can do. What would Jesus do? He would institute baptism. What has Jesus done? Well, he was put to death for our transgressions and raised for our justification, and then instituted this sacrament to bring what he did and he alone, according to the purpose given him, the reason he was sent, to destroy the works of the devil, to seek and to save the lost, to offer his life as a perfect ransom for all, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The purpose of your life is to be found in Jesus, or to put it another way, to be found in baptism, connected to his death and resurrection via daily contrition and repentance, and connected to his life, you rise with him through faith in God's forgiveness, now living a new life. And it's found only in baptism. There are so many ways for you to love and serve your neighbor. This baptismal life, full of purpose, begins and ends with Jesus. He was himself baptized in the Jordan River by John, being found in the water where only sinners are to be found. There was he. He went there in order to find the sinner, in order to take their sins off of their shoulders and put them on his own. And then he stepped forth to fulfill his ministry, the reason the Father sent him. Do you find yourself a sinner through contrition and repentance? Are you found, even though that's true, nevertheless in your baptism? Are you found connected to Jesus through faith in God's mercy? The beginning of Jesus' ministry was in water, and the end of his ministry was on a cross, but he calls both my baptism, the purpose given him by the Father, the reason the Father sent him, a truly purpose-driven life, a purpose-driven death, purpose given by the Father, foretold by the prophets through many centuries, all placed now into the sacrament of holy baptism. He was put to death for our transgressions and raised for our justification, so that everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's what his name, Jesus, means. The Lord saves. And that's what baptism does. The Apostle Peter testifies boldly, baptism now saves you. This baptismal life, full of purpose, is truly full of purpose, and it is full of the cross. You can count on it. Our Old Testament reading from the prophet Jeremiah chapter 1, the prophet is here told by the Lord that even before he was born, before he could ask about his purpose, before he could do anything toward any kind of purpose, while still in the womb, the Lord knew him and knew his plans that he had for him. What were those plans? What was the purpose? To be a prophet to the nations, to speak God's word. In fact, God put his word right in Jeremiah's mouth. Not just to do nice things, but to speak God's word to people. To pluck up and to break down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. There's the purpose of Jeremiah the prophet. And Jeremiah would need a clear sense of purpose, a clear understanding of his vocation and calling from God, because that's the only way he could carry it out, is if he knew what it was. And he would face mighty opposition while trying to be a prophet for the Lord. In fact, Jeremiah suffered more than most of the prophets, and they all suffered to one degree or another. One of the most oft-quoted verses of the book of Jeremiah is probably one that is most misquoted as well. "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." I think that would be a verse quoted by Promise Keepers or by WWJD or by Purpose Driven Life. These words, though, are spoken to Jeremiah and apply to us only through the Word of God in its entirety. They're spoken to Jeremiah, not just for him, but for all of his contemporaries, all the people of God, the people of Israel. God had plans to give them a future and a hope, but only by his word. Because you know what? That same God who made that promise was coming to exact judgment against his people. He was sending Babylon against them and King Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the walls of Jerusalem and its temple and to take them all off into captivity, to banish them. Would they believe the word of Jeremiah? They didn't when they were felt secure. They only believed it once the judgment came and they had nowhere else to turn, no one else to help. All they had was God's word, and so then they finally listened. "I know the plans I have for you. The plans to give you a future and a hope, not to harm you, but to prosper you." And God fulfilled that promise in amazing ways. 70 years later, Jeremiah did not get to see it. But he fulfilled these words, and in one of the most amazing events in world history, Persia sends them back. The king of Persia pays their way. He pays for the temple to be rebuilt, the walls to be rebuilt. Only God could do such great things. Yes, the Lord has done it. But before all that happened, Jeremiah suffered the cross with the people. That was the purpose. He was attacked by his own brothers. He was beaten and put in the stocks, which means he was put on public display to be shamed. He was imprisoned by the king. He was threatened with death. He was thrown into a cistern, a deep well, by the king's officials. He was opposed by a false prophet. It kind of sounds like the life of Jesus to me, doesn't it? And maybe even the life of the Apostle Paul, too. The only one who treated Jeremiah decently was Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan, unbelieving king of Babylon. And sometimes that's how life is. Unbelievers are fulfilling vocations. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who to thank. But they're sometimes fulfilling the vocations more earnestly than us Christians. For them, it's probably because they want money. But nevertheless, it sometimes falls that way. Today's gospel reading is from Luke chapter 4. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus had been in his hometown of Nazareth. In today's reading, he has gone to the Sea of Galilee, the shore of the sea, to the city of Capernaum. Last week, in his hometown of Nazareth, Jesus was in the synagogue, and the people there of his own hometown wanted him to do many signs and perform great wonders and healings. But the text doesn't give a single one. Instead, it has just his words, his preaching. By the end, the people of Nazareth wanted him dead, but he walked through their midst on his way and eventually came to Capernaum. In today's reading, he's in the synagogue, this time in Capernaum, and he's teaching with great success. The text says the people were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed great authority. But all we see, we don't hear his words in this case, all we see is wonders and signs. He's casting out demons and healing the sick, and people are flocking to him. We don't hear a single one of his words. And so Jesus does not act according to our purpose for him, but according to the purpose given him by the Father, which goes against our expectations but also exceeds them. He comes to save. He comes to preach and save in that way. He comes to heal and confirm the preaching and save in that way. Nazareth wanted signs, but got only words. Capernaum wanted words, but got all these signs to confirm his word. the people of Capernaum like wanted to keep him in their village that day. But again, Jesus is on the move. He's on his way. The Father has sent him. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. I was sent for this purpose. Interestingly, the text ends by saying that he left that entire region of Galilee up in the north, where Cana's located, where Nazareth is located, where Capernaum is located. He went south. He went down to the synagogues of Judea. He went toward Jerusalem, didn't he? His purpose was not just to live, to preach, but also to die in Jerusalem, the perfect sacrifice. And so he's moving in that direction. Jesus knows his purpose. The purpose of the Christian church is to preach Jesus and to baptize at his command and then to suffer for doing this. Go and make disciples of all nations, Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. These words are the mission statement of the early church. They didn't need a committee. They didn't need to take a poll or a survey. Jesus gives this to them. Read the book of Acts. That's how the church lived. They preached, they baptized, they suffered. That's the Christian church right there. They didn't come up with some kind of law-based way of life. WWJD, promise keepers, 40 days of purpose-driven life. But rather, preaching and baptizing, that is what the Christian church is and does. And so God gives the fruit. God gives the results in ways that we could never plan or imagine. In his own way and time, he does his work. The words of Jesus here are not just a mission statement. They've bestowed a blessing on each of us. They have affected us 2,000 years later because baptism has come to you based on Jesus' words spoken then. Forgiveness has come to you. All that Jesus has commanded, all that he has accomplished, has come to you based on what he did then and there, what he spoke then and there. These words of Jesus, this mission of the church, is not a marketing ploy. It doesn't make any money. It's not there to be clever or trite or cute. The words of Jesus are profound. They speak of the Trinity. Go and make disciples by baptizing in the triune name of God, and Jesus gives it to us there. You know, normally we use water to dilute something, don't we? But Jesus does it quite opposite. He uses water, he connects it to his word and all that he's done in order to give it a more concentrated form to apply it to an individual, to the sinner, to a baby often. You know, we baptize infants at Christ's command because of what Christ has done, not because they're babies, but because they need God's grace. They need what baptism gives. They need forgiveness because they are sinners apart from God's mercy. The baptized life of purpose is full of love. Love never ends, does it? Christian movements and fads, they come, they go. The world will likewise one day just cease and pass away. But because we have been loved by God in our baptism, we can also then turn around and love others at God's command. You know, that final judgment of the world is going to be based on love. Faith toward Jesus and love toward the poor, the afflicted one. In the gospel reading for today, Jesus preached in the synagogues. He cast out many demons. Today, Christian preaching doesn't go on in synagogues, and we're not casting out demons. But we, the poor, you and me, have the gospel preached into our ears. We don't deserve this. We're kind of like Jeremiah in his mother's womb. We can't do anything. But this is God's purposes at work. This is his eternal plan of salvation unfolding and coming even to us. We have been touched by the love of God through the word and the sacraments. And so now we have been empowered to share that love with one another and those around us. In Jesus' name. You know, the question of purpose is one that I think probably most of our members are asking to one degree or another. Our teenagers, they're really first asking the question during their teenage years. What is my purpose? I know we have older members who have lost a husband of 50 years. They've lost their siblings. They've lost their friends. And that question is vital to them, my purpose. I know even me as a pastor, you wonder sometimes, pastors are necessary, but that I am a pastor, that's not necessary. It's not written in stone anywhere. And yet I carry out the calling and I struggle and I try and try to serve and love, use God's word as I'm called to do and that alone. But that's a struggle too. The Apostle Paul wrestled with this also. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. But on the other hand, he wanted to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. And that Paul be an apostle, that's God's sheer grace. And if Paul's not alone, there's always others with him. There's 12 apostles, and there's a reason for that. There must be fellowship within the church. That's what your purpose is. You are called to be, are you ready? A congregation. That is your calling. That's what baptism is and gives. To hear the word of God and to keep it. To hear the word of God and to do it. To hear the word of God and be blessed by it and to see its blessing in the lives of those you touch all around you, whatever their age. What is my purpose? Well, there's a theologian in the early church who I think he summarizes what it is in a short phrase. He said it in Latin originally, Deus facit homo fit. God makes, man is made. Everything comes from the triune God, including your purpose. And so if you're searching for purpose apart from him and apart from baptism which he's given, you will not find it. Everything comes from him. Like the Apostle Paul says, what do you have that you have not received? Life, new life as a Christian, God's grace and mercy, a future, a hope, these are all gifts from him. God makes, we are made. Think of Abraham, Father Abraham. He had a blessing come to him. He could not have achieved this. He could not have had a son, but God gave him this gift in ways that only God can do. And God told him in his word, I am blessing you so that you may be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And it happened. Abraham couldn't have seen it, just like Jeremiah didn't see God's salvation fully. He believed it. Abraham never see it, but it happened. Abraham became a blessing to all the nations. That was the purpose because of Jesus, Abraham's son. When Jesus came, when Jesus fulfilled the purpose of the Father, when he won salvation and now offers it through word and sacrament, the blessing of Abraham comes to all the nations. I want to warn you of something. Purpose does not equal accomplishment. We think, oh, when I've accomplished something, then I know my purpose, or then I have fulfilled my purpose. Not necessarily. Purpose does not equal accomplishment. Purpose is to live in the life that God gives you, that he calls you to, your various vocations, struggling, calling out to him. It's the first article of the Creed. Credo in Deum Patrem Omnipotentem Creatorem Chile et Terrae. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Everything comes from him and I confess it gladly. I know it fully. It is true. Every good thing comes from him. The Son of God comes from him for our salvation. What is the meaning to the first article? God has done all these things for me. He has given them all to me. And so what is my duty? What is my purpose? To thank and praise him, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. There is the human life right there. To thank and praise the Creator, to serve and obey him in my life, to listen to Jesus and receive mercy from him, and to let his life, which is a life of love, become my own. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not consider itself. You could substitute the name Jesus there, couldn't you? Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is long-suffering. He is not rude or arrogant. He does not think of himself, but love always hopes, always endures. Love never ceases. There's Jesus, the true human being who fulfilled God's purpose, all for you. Amen.